Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Blue Spring Enterprises Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nibodh Shetty from Blue Spring Enterprises. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining Blue Spring Enterprises Limited's Q3 FY26 earnings call. At this point, I would like to highlight that today's discussion may include some forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and are subject to business risk, regulatory changes, and macroeconomic conditions. We do not guarantee these statements or results and are not obliged to update them at any given point of time. These statements should be read in conjunction with the safe harbor clause outlined on slide number two of our investor presentation. With that backdrop, I hand the call over to our CEO, Mr. Kamal Palghunda, followed by Mr. Prafull Sridhar, our CFO, for the opening remarks.
Thank you, Nibodh. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the call today. Let me begin by sharing some brief context on Blue Spring's operating environment during the quarter. In the continued push towards formalization of employment, the government notified the new labor codes in November after announcing employment-linked incentive schemes in August. These codes significantly simplified the earlier framework of labor laws and removed ambiguities around the calculation and payment of statutory dues. We believe the implementation of these codes will act as a tailwind for fully compliant formal employers, as it will become increasingly difficult for principal employers to work with non-compliant vendors. As mentioned in our Q3 disclosures, we have provided for a one-time cost related to higher gratuity and leave encashments. These costs are one-time in nature, and going forward, we expect both revenue and margin tailwinds from the implementation of both the labor codes as well as the ELI schemes. Now, let's discuss Q3 and nine-month performance. Blue Spring recorded Q3 revenue of 844 crores, excluding the investments vertical. This represents an increase of 10% year-on-year and 1% quarter-on-quarter. The 10% year-on-year revenue growth was driven by new sales additions in the facility management and security verticals. Quarter-on-quarter growth remained flattish due to the industrial vertical, as weakness in telecom network rollouts persisted throughout the quarter. For nine months, the revenue stood at 2,458 crores, an increase of 12% year-on-year, with all the three verticals clocking double-digit growth year-on-year. Our revenue base continues to be well-diversified across customers and sectors, with the top 30 customers contributing only 49% of revenue and eight different sectors, each contributing more than 5% of overall revenue, enhancing the robustness of our business. Q3 EBITDA stood at 32 crores, an increase of 12% year-on-year and 12% quarter-on-quarter, while nine months EBITDA remained flat at 85 crores. As discussed in the earlier calls, flat EBITDA on a nine-month basis is due to investments in leadership and sales team enhancements. As these investments continue to get absorbed by the revenue growth, EBITDA growth will only pick up, as evidenced by the 12% quarter-on-quarter growth this quarter. The sales engine continues to perform strongly. In nine months, we have secured contracts worth 278 crores across facility management, food, and industrial verticals. The security vertical deployed over 2,000 guards during the year from new sales only. The sales pipeline remains strong and will continue to drive growth in the coming quarters. Moving on to segment-wise updates, starting with facility and food services. This segment had a solid quarter with Q3 revenue of 521 crores, growing by 11% year-on-year. The year-on-year growth was driven by new contract mobilizations. Nine-month revenue stood at 1,511 crores, a growth of 13% year-on-year. New sales continue to be strong in Q3, with business winning contracts worth 79 crores of ACV. Industrial and healthcare were the major drivers for new sales. With strong Q3, the total ACV won for the year stood at 189 crores for this vertical. In housekeeping, focus on quality deals has seen the new deals being won at
150 to 200 basis points higher margins versus last year. With growth drivers in place, the business is now focusing on margin improvement initiatives through efficiency gains, accelerating digital adoption across processes and vendor consolidations. Moving on to telecom and industrials. Starting with safety updates, I'm happy to report that our industrial vertical once again logged zero fatalities and lost time injuries in quarter three. The industrial vertical has now logged over 19,000 health and safety training hours in 9 months itself. Q3 revenue remains flattish at 151 crores, as delayed rollouts by telecom majors continue to hamper the telecom business growth. However, timely cost optimization efforts around resources, tools, and vendor optimization ensured profitability growth, with business delivering double-digit EBITDA margins during the quarter. We expect telecom rollouts to pick up in quarter four, driving high single-digit quarter-on-quarter revenue growth. The segment reported 9 months revenue of 458 crores, growing 10% year-on-year on the back of new sales done earlier quarters. In the industrial sub-segment, our focus on transitioning from a manpower provider to a strategic operational partner continued to yield results, as we won a 20 crore ACV contract for consolidated electrical and instrument maintenance for a large manufacturing client. This contract will be mobilized in quarter four. Excluding this, industrial vertical has won 51 crores of ACV for the 9 months in the current financial year. As I mentioned during Q2 earnings call, our telecom active infra business is focusing on diversifying its revenue streams. The business took a significant step in that direction with the first overseas project, where we are now deploying 50+ resources outside the country. Moving on to security business. The business continued its upward trajectory in Q3 with revenue of 173 crores, a 15% year-on-year increase. Similarly, the business clocked 9 months revenue of 489 crores, an increase of 14% year-on-year. This is powered by headcount addition of around 2,500 over the last 12 months, a growth of 12% year-on-year. While the Q3 focus was on operational consolidation, the business continued to add new logos. In Q3, we deployed 594 headcount against the new contracts won. The new sales have now added over 50 new logos in the present financial year. As mentioned in the Q2 call, strengthening of sourcing channels continue to be the key focus area in this segment. We have invested in the sourcing team throughout the year, and we are starting to see some early results in improved deployments. With both sales and sourcing team in place, we are confident of achieving similar growth trend in the coming quarters. Moving on to Foundit, our AI-powered job search platform, which delivered a revenue of 18 crores in quarter three with 45% sales productivity increase in quarter three over quarter one. For Q3, our key focus levers for sales were driving new productivity, improving renewal rates, and optimizing our channel mix. On platform, product revamp is completed with better UI/UX for both seekers and recruiters, while positioning Foundit as a skill-first platform. Focus for Q4 would be on strategic sales and marketing spends to accelerate growth. I will now hand over to our CFO, Prafull Sridhar, for the financial deep dive. Over to you, Prafull.
Thank you, Kamal, and a very good morning to all of you present in this call. At the onset, I would like to speak about the elephant in the room, the new labor code. As you are aware, the government has now implemented a major reform that has been in progress for several years. 29 separate labor laws have been consolidated into transports. These reforms are aimed at strengthening compliance, ensuring timely wage payments, formalizing employer-employee relationships, and addressing the long-standing issue of labor exploitation in unorganized sectors. In the immediate term, these changes do have an impact on operating costs. We have assessed an incremental liability of 29.8 crores relating to past service costs in gratuity and leave liabilities. We expect that these costs will largely be passed to the clients over time, as we have enough safeguards in our contract terms that allow us to revisit pricing in every event of statutory revisions. We have already initiated discussions with clients on revision of wages to comply with the new labor code. While such discussions will take some time to conclude, in the interim, management has taken a prudent approach and recognized this as a one-time charge as a balance sheet date. Given its regulatory-driven nature, materiality, and non-recurring characteristics, this impact has been classified as an exceptional item in our financials. Now, I will take you through the consolidated financial performance, excluding Founded for quarter, before discussing segment-wise results and other corporate updates. We reported a consolidated revenue of 844 crores for the quarter. It's a 10% year-on-year and 10% sequential growth. Year-on-year growth was driven across facilities, food, industrial, and security solution verticals, while we saw some headwinds in telecom vertical due to slowdown in rollouts of new projects. During the quarter, we have mobilized close to around 39 new contracts, contributing to an ACV of 89 crores. We continue to have a well-diversified sector base with top three sectors, that is industrials, commercial spaces, and government and public infra, continue to contribute to close to around 50% of our revenue base. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 32 crores, which is up 12% year-on-year and sequentially. EBITDA margins have improved by 37 basis points over the last quarter to 3.8%, in line with our margin guidance as given in the previous quarters. The strong growth in EBITDA and expansion of margins was aided by volume growth in food, facility, and security space, with new contracts being mobilized at better margins. Margin expansion in food was seen as generally in Q3 is a strong quarter for the education sector. Second, we saw some efficiencies across businesses arising out of shared services teams consolidations. Our adjusted PAT for the quarter stood at 19 crores. The PAT was up 50% year-on-year, 14%. EPS for the quarter stood at 1.2 per share. Our interest cost has spiked by 3 crores, of which 2.2 crores was due to true-up of fair valuation of put liability of an acquisition of Vedant's remaining 1% equity. We continue on our previously stated trajectory of reducing DSOs and net debt levels. As of 31st December, our net debt level is 107 crores, a reduction of 29 crores quarter-on-quarter, while our DSO stands as against 105 days reported in the last quarter. With Novation activity largely behind us, we are on course to bring net debt levels to sub-100 levels as guided earlier. Moving now towards segment performance. Our facilities and food verticals continues to be our largest segment, contributing to 60% of our revenues. This vertical grew 11% year-on-year and 1% sequentially to 521. The growth was driven by 20 new client additions during the quarter, with an annual contract value of 79 crores. As reiterated in previous quarters, our focus remains firmly on profitable growth. Our facilities and food services business continues to be our largest segment, contributing to 60% of our total revenues. This vertical grew 11% year-on-year and 1% sequentially to 521 crores. This growth was driven by 20 new client additions during the quarter with an annual contract value of 79 crores. As reiterated in the previous quarters, our focus remains firmly on profitable growth. We added new clients across education, commercial, BFSI, and healthcare sectors. EBITDA for this segment stands at 4.5%, a 50 basis points jump from the previous quarter. This was aided due to our food performance gaining momentum in education sector and new contracts coming at higher margins during the quarter. Commencement of our new central kitchen in Whitefield area remains on track, and we expect the same to be operational starting next quarter. Our telecom and industrial segment reported a revenue of 151 crores. A growth of 2% year-on-year and down sequentially by 3%. Telecom business performance was muted as network operators have briefly slowed down new network rollouts as mentioned earlier. In our industrial vertical, we have begun to reposition ourselves as an end-to-end O&M player, in line with our long-term strategy to move away from traditional manpower supplies and labor arbitrage businesses to SLA-based. EBITDA for this vertical stands at 9.9% for the quarter, a 160 basis points jump. The strong EBITDA growth was aided by one-time shutdown activities, ECL improvement on account of better collections. Our security services business delivered another strong quarter, with revenues up 15% year-on-year and 3% sequentially to 173 crores. In 9 months, we have mobilized close to around 2,500-plus headcounts. However, the EBITDA for the business was muted for the quarter due to certain one-offs on bonus billings and provisioning towards receivables. Investments in Founded, coming to Founded. Revenues for the quarter were 18 crores. We continue to maintain our EBITDA losses at similar levels as last quarter. We are confident that our new initiatives and revamped product will start seeing some traction soon, and it would reflect in the numbers. To conclude, we are a young company that has consistently delivered strong results since our listing. We remain confident that we firmly are on course to achieve the guiding principles that we set out to ourselves and are committed to building on this momentum as we move forward. Thank you again. Now the floor is open for Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Khushi Kapoor from Nijan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Khushi Jain from Nijan Capital. So my first question is that the founded revenue has decreased almost 27% year-on-year basis. So, but the core business of Digitide has been increasing by 15%. So what kind of the board consider that we are going to divest our assets or sale of the assets? Is there like a specific deadline for the turnaround? Because it is impacting our consolidated margins.
Is that the only question, Khushi? You said this is the first question.
Khushi, do you have...
Hello.
Yes, Khushi, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
More questions. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. One more question for now.
So you've right pointed out the revenues have dropped. You know, been
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your voice is distorted again. If you could come a little closer to the microphone.
Our apologies for not having a clear line. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Much better. Thank you.
Okay. So, as mentioned in the present earnings call, most of the product-related work and investments is complete. The product revamp is now completed with a better UI UX for both seeker and recruiter. We're extremely confident that, there'll be a upward revenue trajectory starting with this current quarter onwards. And in the, run-up to this, we've also been bringing down our cost base to levels that, we have visibility of break-even in next three quarters. So it has probably taken, 3 to 4 quarters more than what we had originally anticipated. But like I said, with the revamp product and the strategic sales and marketing spends that we are doing presently, we expect the revenues to significantly go up starting with the current quarter itself.
Okay, got it. So you're saying that the break-even, which is going to happen by next quarter, which it will take like 3 to 4 more quarters, correct? And, okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Adarsh Pincha from Nijan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, so my question was regarding the company that you have founded itself. So my question was, you have guided for founded break-even by the end of FY26, but with revenue shrinking, is the break-even being achieved through cost-cutting that might hurt future growth? Or do you see a genuine revival in recruitment demand? If not, what is your plan B if you lost in FY27?
Sure. Thanks for your question, Adarsh. So see, we've used this year to do two, three different things with Foundit. One is on the product itself. We've revamped the product and, you know, the product obviously is now with much better UI/UX, much better search capabilities. And we have some fantastic feedback from a lot of clients to whom we have taken this new product only in the current quarter, which is Q3. We've got some very encouraging feedback, and we are confident that this should now help us go back to the regular revenue trajectory of, you know, 25+ crores a quarter, which we used to see in Foundit earlier. We feel that, you know, starting Q4 onwards, current quarter onwards, we should be able to see that uptake in the revenue. And you know, in a run-up to the product revamp, we had actually reduced our spend base and brought down Foundit to, you know, a year back when Foundit used to be at almost 45 crores a quarter kind of spend base to a present year, 30 crores quarter kind of a spend base. So we've right-sized the company, made it a very agile company, and also got the product up. Now, with some strategic confident of reviving the P&L. And like I said, you know, we look forward probably another three quarters for a breakeven. And I think we'll start seeing uptake in the revenue starting this quarter itself.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Kaustubh Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So wanted to understand exactly how you feel margins will expand due to the new labor code. Also wanted to understand, you know, what's the update, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the government supposed to notify on a universal basis minimum wage, which they still haven't, or have you all got some communication? Could you please speak a little bit about this?
Sure. Thank you, Kaustubh. This is Prafull here. On this labor code, it was a notification given by Government of India on 21st November. Certain clarifications on other aspects of national floor wages is still not announced, but there are many laws that is already effective immediately. So based on those clarifications or already a law, we have taken a liability based on the assessment of our gratuity and leave components. Now, to your question as to what will happen to the margin profile post-implementation of labor code. So this is an exercise not different from any of the minimum wages change that happened twice in a year for every state, or once in every year. So basically, it will be a discussion between us and the customer. This time, the additional thing that we have to do is, we have to actually see what is the right structure for an employee, which is a discussion that we have to have a client. And our contract allows us majority of any changes towards the statute, we pass back to the customer. We don't see any margin profile coming down because of labor code.
Yeah, if I may add, Kaustubh, while obviously the downside is not there, but there is a huge potential upside as these codes have obviously stringent compliance requirements, and we believe that it's going to become increasingly difficult for people to work with non-compliant vendors. And with, you know, nationally scaled safety first and high compliant environment in which we operate, we believe that this could be a tailwind opportunity for players, formalized players like Bluespring.
So basically, you're saying your bargaining power should increase with your customer. But if you could please elaborate a little bit on the codes that are already passed, and will the codes that are already passed, will they already start impacting unorganized competition, and why so? And isn't the announcement of the national minimum wage one of the most important aspects of this code, of this labor code, and we can't really have the labor code to its full effect until that's announced because obviously every state has different minimum wages right now and it's all very scattered.
Yeah. So let me attempt, it's a very elaborate subject to be covered on an IR call, but let me attempt that, Kaustav. There were 29 codes as mentioned by Praful, and the 29 codes have been replaced by 4 codes now, and the 4 codes are already into existence. So to your question whether, there needs to come something for, let's say, non-organized players, no, the answer is that codes have been already notified and they are already in place. So there were 4 codes on wages which have been replaced by a single code called the Code of Wages. There were almost 13 legislations on health and working conditions which has been replaced by a single code called the OSH code. There were almost 9 existing legislations on social security which has been replaced by a single code on social security. And then there were 3 separate legislations on the industrial relations which has been again consolidated into 1 industrial relations code, and all of them are already effective. What we meant by the minimum wages, there is an expectation that government will come with a minimum floor wage which will be at a national level, moving away from the present state-wise minimum wages. So that's something yet to be notified, which, once gets notified will have effect immediately. However, in terms of the key changes which has already been done, is there is a clarity now in the definition of wages, what has to be considered and what has to be excluded, and what will become, let's say, base for calculation of gratuity, what tenures to be considered, what will be the definition of a fixed term employment, and related obligations on employers towards gratuity and leave encashment. So there is abundant clarity on some of these aspects and are already effective, and hence you would see not just us but a lot of companies have taken significant provisions. In our case, we've taken a 29 crores provision, which is a one-time effect, which we believe, since most of our contracts have clauses where these statutory changes are a pass-through, we should be able to, over the course of next 6 months, work with our 1,000-plus clients and, effect the changes of the new labor code.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anand Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I had a few questions. One was the labor code charge that we put as an exceptional item that we charge on the P&L. Is this recoverable from the client? That was question number one. The second question was, as you mentioned, that over 6 months you'll probably sit down with your clients and revise how the wage is structured, salaries are structured. So do you expect some kind of margin volatility or some kind of a revenue headwind over the next 6 months as things stabilize? And number three was that there was also a PLI scheme that the government had announced, which has now been notified, I think, from 1st August 2025. So have you worked around any numbers of how much that could benefit us on the bottom line? So these were the 3 questions mainly around labor codes and PLI scheme.
Thank you for that question. So let me cover the first aspect on the recoverability of whatever is the cost that we have already provisioned for. So this 29 crores that you can see has 2 splits in this. One is the core employees of 1,400 people that we are having. That is not passable back to the customer. That is close to around 9 crores. So the remaining 20 odd crores is what we have taken for what we call it as associate population, who are our revenue generators. So these costs on gratuity and leave encashment, as iterated earlier, we have to go back to the customer and actually get, we have a legal framework already agreed with the customer, which allows us to go back and recover these costs. However, we have to have such discussions with the customer before changing any of the structure of wages and enhancing the cost. So that's why we have not recognized any unbilled revenue towards these cost inflations during the quarter, which we believe that we, should be predominantly a revenue accretive in the future quarters to come. So that's answer number one. On the margin profile for your second question, we, as iterated earlier, we don't see any margin profile tailing down because of labor code changes. In fact, we have some tailwinds coming through because
This will put everybody into a framework of all statutories and retirals to be taken at a particular level, which will only enhance organized players like us in terms of either continuing with the same margin profile or enhancing it. Number two, what was your last question?
That was on the ELI scheme.
Yes, I see. So Anand, you're right, ELI schemes are effective from 1st of August. There are two parts of the incentivization. One is towards the employer and one is towards the employees. Both these incentives are only going to become due end of February after completion of the first 6 monthly cycle of the scheme. So we, from 1st August, we've been doing our workings and, you know, calculating the impacts. But, you know, being a government scheme, we would want to recognize this only on receipt basis, because this will be a first time that, you know, such a scheme is announced. So we will wait for the money to be credited, which may take a couple of months post it becoming due. So the first date it becomes due is 1st of March, after, let's say, the new set of employees have completed a minimum period of 6 months, post which there will be obviously some compliances that government would want us to do in terms of filing certain returns for claiming this money. And once this money is received, is when we would want to account it in the books. And, you know, most likely that will happen either in the current quarter Q4 or Q1 of next year. And we'll come back to the investor community to share the impact as and when we receive this amount.
Got it, got it. So just one follow up on the labor code answer that you mentioned. So just want to understand, so this quarter our revenue growth has been slightly muted as compared to the previous quarter. So are there any headwinds because of this labor code that clients are trying to understand what the impact is and then take a call on new contracts or new hiring? One more question as a follow-up to the labor code, and the other question was also, like, just want to understand, do we also get benefits of ATJJ on the tax side? Just want to understand, how should we look at our tax rates, and also because we've, I think, had some accumulated losses because of impairments. So do we have any carry-forward losses, or we recognize DTA for those carry-forward losses?
Yeah. So I'll take the first aspect of muted growth. You're right. Quarter on quarter at a blended level, our operating businesses have sequentially grown by 1%, wherein you can see this telecom and industrial verticals degrow by 3%. So what we see is starting from September onwards, the new rollouts and the network rollouts that we had received the plans from the telecom operators have not happened. It has slowed down. That is the reason we see that telecom vertical has seen a slight dip in revenue as against what we had planned. In terms of our security business, it's grown 3% quarter on quarter, which is on course. Our facilities and food business saw some revamp in terms of the entire client profile. While you can actually see a growth of 1%, but if you actually take a gross impact, it is almost a 3.5% growth that we have done. There were certain accounts that we have identified at the start of the contract, which we actually did not want those profiles to continue because of the margin trajectory commitment that we have given. And hence, we have let go some of the contracts there, which was there in the Q3. That is the net effect that you are seeing in facilities and food. Net on net, except telecom vertical, all our operating businesses have grown close to around 2-3% quarter on quarter. So that's one. With respect to your tax question, our Blue Spring Enterprise Limited, the entire operating profile, effective tax rate is close to around 17-20%. But however, you see a different aspect because of the deferred tax asset that is being created for the differential on the retirals that we actually provide for versus what is the payout. So that's the difference that you can see in our ETR quarter on quarter.
Okay, got it. And then the security side, why were the margins impacted this quarter? And you also mentioned that there was some stake increase that happened. So I think it's about 75% now. Do we plan to get to 100% in this?
Yeah. So basically in our security vertical, even 20-30 lakhs quarter movement in terms of the absolute EBITDA makes a lot of difference in terms of the percentages. So while the revenue has grown by 3%, we would have expected EBITDA to grow at 3% as well, which is a miss of around 75 lakhs.
These 75 lakhs to 80 lakhs of one-time provisioning we have taken on certain receivables, which post confirmation from the client, we have seen that there are certain leeways and penalties. While we have provided for it, we are also going back to the customer in terms of reconciling these receivables back into our P&L. This is a prudent method that we follow here, which is called an estimated credit loss. Which actually follows a flow rate of provisioning based on the aging of a receivable. That's the reason you see a slight dip in security. Other than this 75 to 80 lakh rupees, if at all we account for that, I think it is, they are in the trajectory of the growth of revenue.
In terms of stake sale, the stake sale actually, stake purchase rather was in Vedang, wherein we were already holding close to around 97% of the company, and we increased our stake by further 2 percentage points. As far as Terrier is concerned, 25% of the company is with the employee trust, and the balance 75% is with Blue Spring.
Okay. Understood. Thank you for the detailed answer, sir. I have a few more questions. I'll get back to you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aryaman Shukla from Prudent Corporate. Please go ahead.
So it's Aryaman from Prudent, actually. Sir, I basically had two questions. One on Founded, actually. Sir, if I understand that we are going through a recovery phase right now, but what can be the expected burn in the next 3 quarters till we break even that you had guided? And then number two was on telecom. So I think we've seen a decent slowdown here. Should there be a revision in the guidance for the telecom segment, and how should this impact our margin guidance? Because they give a decent chunk of margin to our overall company. So yeah, these two questions, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Aryaman. So let me start with telecom. We've not changed our guidance. We believe that while there has been a bit of a slowdown in the rollouts, but we've also been working on how do we diversify our revenue streams in the telecom business. And one of them I have called out in my speech that we've been able to go international, and the first overseas project where we have deployed 50 plus resources in one of the countries outside India. In the current quarter, we actually plan to do one more. So we will most likely by Q1 of next year would be in two geographies outside India, so that we can continue to maintain this better margin business that we have in the Blue Spring portfolio. We believe on a sustained basis, this business should grow 12 to 15% year on year. Coming back to Founded, as I said, we expect revenues to start coming back from the current quarter itself to disproportionate levels than what we have been reporting for last 2-3 quarters. And on the back of that, I'm confident that in another 3 quarters from now, we're looking at break-even. In terms of burn over next 3 quarters, on a cumulative basis, I believe, somewhere between 30 to 35 crores, we may have to invest further in the business, post which the P&L will start looking positive.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Priyansh Srivastav from KC Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. So thank you so much for the opportunity. So I want to ask, what is your target return on capital at project level in facility management business? Like, do you have a threshold?
Are you asking about the capital of facility management? I'm sorry, can you elaborate your question, please?
The target return on capital at project level.
Okay, got it. So our ROCE currently is a double-digit ROCE at a blended level because we manage cash and debt at a overall level, including all other verticals. We don't have a ready answer in terms of what exactly is facilities and food ROCE that you're seeing. But I would assume, I can give you an indirect answer here. So we have made investments close to around 300 odd crores in terms of facilities and food verticals to be where we are. This was mostly inorganic that we have done earlier. So we see that ROCE trajectory should only improve going forward. Right now, I can only give you answer at an overall operating Bluespring level, not at individual facilities and food business. But I can actually come back to you one-on-one post we have the answer at a business level.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. That was helpful. And the second, like, would you consider pursuing a buyback instead of allocating capital towards acquisitions?
See, buyback is not an option as of now. So basically, we are not thinking about any of such corporate restructuring as of now, for the very reason that first we want to stabilize the entire operating business of ours, bring it to a stage where we believe the value will be right, and post that, and also mind you, our cash scenario as of now is around 107 crores of debt. We have also called out in our previous calls that this is a company that we will not hesitate in terms of growing inorganically as well. So the priority of buyback as of now is not there. While we will have a priority of growing this business organically and inorganically, which requires capital.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aryaman Shukla from Prudent. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. Just two, three bookkeeping questions. Can you please call out the cash and debt on balance sheet currently? And then what do our DSO days look like this quarter? Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, so our operating businesses, if you see, we have a debt levels of 107 crores in terms of our debt levels as on December. Our DSO days, as mentioned in my speech, is close to around 98 days for our operating businesses, which was around 105 days last quarter. Our debt has reduced by 29 crores quarter on quarter. And as I mentioned earlier, that we believe that our cash generation is usually robust in Q4. And we have guided the markets that we will be a OCF to EBITDA ratio of around 50%. So, having said that, we should actually see a sub-100 debt levels by March end, and our DSO levels from 98 days also should improve further.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaustubh Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, please help me understand better, because I'm not really... So this founded cash burn, how is it being funded? Because for the last few years, you have been OCF negative. So I'm just trying to understand how have you been funding this rise in short-term borrowings over the last many quarters from March. I'm just looking at the disclosed figures. March 25 was 79 crores, September was 194 crores. You're saying right now it's 107 crores in December. So why was this debt? Can you exactly list the purpose of the rise in debt and how is founded being funded? And if we are going to do acquisitions and keep funding the founded losses, how are we doing that with if cash accruals aren't coming in as of the moment?
Yeah. So cost of, there are two, three aspects around cash flows. I think this year, first 6 months, we had not some great operating KPIs on cash flows on the back of innovations that we had to do. So the entire 1,000+ clients, we had to go and innovate our contracts from Quest to Bluespring. And that was one of the reasons why we had a higher DSO days, poor cash flows in the first 6 months. And also a reason why our debt levels shot up, irrespective of whether we were investing in Foundit or not. That position has been completely addressed. All our contracts have been novated. Our Q3 cash flows are much better than quarter one and quarter two. And as Praful mentioned, that on a full year basis, we believe that we will be able to do 50% of operating cash flows vis-a-vis the operating EBITDA, which should help us manage our working capital levels. The second questions on acquisition and funding the acquisitions through debt, we will come back when we have identified asset with proper diligence completed and a proposal. We'll definitely share how are we going to fund those acquisitions in general, we have said that in long run, we want to grow 3x of GDP, both organically and inorganically put together. And hence, we would be looking at adjacencies to some of our existing businesses, which will give us, let's say, better margin, better ROE businesses, or better digital businesses to add to our existing businesses. Coming back to Foundit also, as I said, we probably are looking at only another 30-35 crores of investment, other than whatever we have so far invested. We had done a fundraise for Foundit back in 2022, and we had also taken borrowings at Foundit level to the extent of close to around 50 odd crores. So Foundit has been funded basis the previous fundraise and the debt levels that have been raised at Foundit level. And I think we are very close to, you know, seeing a turnaround in this business and would want to continue to push the revenue trajectory in this business, which, like I said, is visible from the Q4 onwards.
Okay, just one last thing. You said 35 crores more investment in Foundit. How much investment has been made till date, not including the 35 crores?
We would have invested close to around 250 odd crores. But that's not just our investment. This also includes the fundraise for which the money was also raised from the investors outside of Bluespring.
Okay, so 250 crores and plus 35.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Thank you. Before I conclude, I'd like to once again emphasize that over the last three quarters, we've taken all-round efforts to drive profitable growth, and this has resulted in double-digit revenue growth in all verticals and 78 basis points improvements in our EBITDA margins in quarter three to 3.8% from 3.1% reported in quarter one. Once again, demonstrating that our strategy of growth with discipline is working. Looking ahead, our focus for quarter four will be on sustaining healthy double-digit revenue growth while expanding EBITDA margins further to our stated guidance of 4%. Thank you, everybody, for joining this call.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.